Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I had to go about it, write it out, and find it myself. And there's some stories I can tell you. I had to fail, had to fall, just for what I did well. And there's some stories I can tell you.
It's a Final Word World Cup Daily 2023. Adam Collins with you in London. Jeff Sapuna on day 28, where New Zealand have been playing South Africa, and he's got the early finish. We're here for Westfield London, Westfield Stratford City. More extra, less ordinary. Tell us all about it in 30 seconds.
Tom Latham of New Zealand won the toss and asked South Africa to bat. Why did he do that? Put them in. Guess what? They make between 300 and 400, because that's what they do when they bat first. 357 this time around, 200-run partnership between Rossie van der Nissen and Quinton de Kock, who both made hundreds, and then David Miller smashed them around at the end. They put on 119 in the last 10 overs, and New Zealand were never at the races. Lost wickets early, lost wickets late, lost wickets in the middle, lost wickets until they were bowled out in 35 overs. Glenn Phillips made 50 smashing at the end. Pointless, they were out for 167.
They've been defeated by 190 runs. New Zealand had two things going for them early in the tournament. Early wins, four wins, the big one over England, then taking advantage of a softer part of the draw, but they were able to accumulate quite a bit of net run rate. That's almost completely eliminated if you want to view it in a positive-negative sort of spectrum. They're at 0.5 of a percentage point now. In Pakistan, I'm wearing their jacket today because today's a big day for Pakistan, because they're now within touching distance and they play New Zealand next, and that is shaping up as something of a quarterfinal. We might talk more about that later, but the particulars of today, as you say, South Africa, 357 for four. Quinton de Kock, his fourth century of the tournament. Quinton, why are you retiring? Rossie van der Nissen cashes in 133 from 118. They put the foot down after passing three figures. And then with the ball, Keshav Maharaj, 4 for 46. You mentioned the Phillips runs, but the wickets up the top from Marco Jansen, all out 167. That means that South Africa let the good times roll. How they were able to build today, Jeff, each 10-over block went quicker than the one that came before it. 43, 51, 61, 83, 119. The last 10, 119 today, 144 against Bangladesh, 143 against England, 137 against Sri Lanka. They're basically doing 2015 World Cup cricket. And by that I mean they're saving everything for the final 10 overs. We've seen one-day cricket evolve a little bit since that tournament, where more of the heavy lifting is done in the middle overs. Well, they're about 150 after 30, right? You know, in traditional kind of one-day speak, you're shooting for 300-odd from there. Well, they've gone that and some because of their explosive power at the back, and that didn't even really include Klaassen, who barely got a hit.
Well, that was the interesting thing, is that while de Kock and van der Nissen were building this partnership, this may sound ridiculous, but I thought they left some out there. I thought they went too slowly at times between about 20 and 40. You look at what South Africa had done batting first in this tournament: 428, 311, 399, 382, both the times they've chased. They've lost one and they nearly lost the other, and probably coulda, shoulda, woulda lost the other, nine down with an umpire's call decision not given. And then they get asked to bat first. It was absolute stupidity from New Zealand. And I don't think it's just hindsight wisdom, because literally at the toss, at the time, we all of us covering the game went on the record and said, this is daft, it's hot. Like, you don't want to field first, you want to make the other team field first. And particularly when their best player, their most important player, if not their most aggressive or destructive, but their most important being Quinton de Kock, is the wicketkeeper. Make him go and keep wicket for 50 overs before he has to come out to bat. He's probably not going to peel off 100 against you. It's going to be much harder in those conditions. So there were points through the middle with all that batting power to come, with Markram being in the touch that he's been in, with Klaassen and Miller, those heavyweights through the middle order, not coming in until well into the last 10 overs. It almost felt like a waste of resources. But maybe it just doesn't matter. I mean, if you make 350, you make 350. It's quibbling, but I felt like this was a day when they could have made 380 if they'd gone a little bit harder through the middle and risked losing a wicket through from somewhere between overs 30 and 40 in order to get one of those hitters in.
Yeah, and look, they did lose a bowler. New Zealand, Matt Henry went down with a hamstring in his sixth over, so Neesham had to come on, and that's when de Kock really took off. I mean, that was the reference point for de Kock to put the foot down himself and went to 100 with a six-over backwards square leg from his 103rd delivery. Rassie van der Dussen gets there a couple of overs later with a four to a similar part of the ground. So just on de Kock, he's made 545 runs already in this tournament. Sangakkara made 541 back in 2015. That's most ever for a wicketkeeper. Now he's equal on hundreds with Sangakkara for four in a tournament. Only Rohit Sharma sits in front of him. But I share your view that there was a time there between overs, say, 30 and 40, where I thought, and bear in mind, I'm going to say this line for one of the last times he's retiring, it was in New Zealand's interest to keep de Kock in. Because you could see where, and they were always going to rejig the batting order with Miller, Orr, and eventually Klaassen coming in before Markram, who whacked a six from his one and only ball in the middle. We might come to that in the Hall of Fame, Jeff. But no, the way it was trending. But this is not a normal setup. South Africa aren't playing the game the way other teams are playing it. They are in such good nick and have such belief in what they can do in terms of clearing the ropes. The other stat that came out today, they've now hit 82 sixes in the tournament. The most ever in a completed World Cup, is England's 76 sixes back in 2019. So with two group games to go, potentially a semi-final and a final, they've already hit six more sixes than England hit in four more games 4 years ago when they were setting any number of scoring records. So, you know, this is an interesting side for many reasons, not least the fact that we thought 3 months ago they'd be nowhere near it, but brute force, guys that have honed their game in short form leagues, it's paying dividends at the moment.
And the weird thing is that none of these South African batters have been playing any Royal London Cup 50 over domestic cricket. How are they possibly making runs in one day internationals if they haven't been playing English domestic 50 over cricket? It was just very controlled today. Themba Bavuma, I feel a bit for him because he played so nicely, smoked. Yeah. Four through the covers, you know, four boundaries through the covers. That cover-driven six that he picked up, they were all off Matt Henry, these boundaries. And then his first drive at Bolt, it's angled across him and he edges to slip on 24. But he looked really good early. Hasn't got big runs in this World Cup, but has got big runs in the year or so leading up to this World Cup in 50-over cricket. And then it was just Quinton de Kock and Rassie van der Dussen looking completely unfazed. They put on exactly 200 together. And then Miller came in. They sent him in as the left-hander ahead of Klaassen, which I thought was a bit odd given Klaassen striking at 160. I don't think the left-hand right-hand combination matters that much when the bloke's striking at 160 through the World Cup. Maybe just send him in anyway, but they didn't, and Miller did the job regardless. 53 off 30, smoked them at the end, Neesham having to bowl, as you said. So, look, 357, even if it could have been 380, I guess it didn't need to be 380. And New Zealand, I suppose when you've nearly chased 380 in the previous game, then maybe you've just used up everything you've got. You know, all their juice was gone. But also, against Australia, they didn't have to face Marco Jansen. They faced an out-of-form Mitchell Starc, who was spraying wides around every over. And instead, Jansen was on the money as usual. He's up to, what is it, 11 or 12 wickets just in the power play through this tournament. Got a little bit of movement, used the sharp bouncer. There's Conway caught at slip, but then there's Ravindra, who's been the find of the series, who is so good with the hook shot, but it's Jansen's pace, but also bounce. It just gets too much for Ravindra to play over the top of, and it takes the top edge near the splice of the bat, and it looks like it's sailing over fine leg for six, but in the end it gets held down there. And really from that point, Conway gone for two, Ravindra gone for nine. Will Young wasn't scoring quickly enough to really be a threat. Darryl Mitchell comes out and makes 24 before he's caught off the bowling of Maharaj trying to smack one. And then that's pretty much all she wrote. You know, New Zealand never looked like they were going to get close to it today, even though Phillips hit his 60 at the end and was last out.
Oh, really smooth South Africa, I thought, with the ball. I mean, a beauty to get Young. Great catch to get rid of Mitchell. That swirling in the air of Miller underneath it. I'm not saying they were anywhere near it, but you know, we've seen Mitchell turn games before in the last 12 months. Soft dismissal to get Latham, but clever bowling from Rabada, bowling into the pitch, soon into the attack. You know, Santner is out to Maharaj. What a 4 wickets for him. Thought he mixed his pace up really well. Maharaj, 2 wickets with balls that were quite slow out of the hand. And we're actually used to more seeing that from Santner. But he's worked his way into the tournament at the right time, because we're going to be seeing pitches. They may not be used pitches necessarily, but the grounds will be taking more wear and tear. And it should be a tournament that the deeper we get into it, it takes more to spin. So I was glad to see he finished with 4 and Jansen with 3. Just to go back to Rassie van der Dusen for a moment, I reckon he gets a tough rap sometimes, you know. And this is partly a test match thing, I reckon, that we've seen him flattered to deceive against the red ball, and we forget that he's got an imposing white ball record, an average with a 6 in front of it. And he the way he plays belies the way he looks. Rassie van der Dusen looks like a plunderer in the mould of, David Miller, his teammate. But it's very different. He's actually got beautiful touch, and he always has. He's a more elegant, traditional, tactile cricketer than a bludgeoning come in at 4 or 5, which of course is why he bats number 3 in this one-day side. But yeah, it was an aesthetically pleasing innings, even though he ended up striking at well over 100 and that strike rate caught up after passing 3 figures. I think that, you know, him coming into form at the right time as well, they're answering a lot of questions right now, and whoever they get in the semi-final, I'm not sure whether they have formally qualified for the semis at the back of this. They probably haven't, because of the, as you were discussing on the weekly show, Jeff, there were all these exotic scenarios where India can miss and so on. Of course they won't, but they will be there in the semi, South Africa, and they're going to be a handful no matter who they play, even if they play India in the semi. That'll be the matchup India don't want. They'll be quite happy with, I think, Australia, who they beat comfortably, Pakistan, who they have the wood over if they get in there, or New Zealand, whose form's gone off a cliff. Who they won't want to get if they were to drop a game towards the end is South Africa.
South Africa, so they're on 12 points now with a very big net run rate. So in theory, there are a couple other teams who could catch up to them on 12, but wouldn't catch them on net run rate regardless. I think, you know, Afghanistan being one of those, Afghanistan could beat South Africa in order to catch them on 12, but wouldn't make up net run rate even if that happened, I think, without looking at the table right now. So they're pretty much good to go. It's just a matter of where they finish now, and probably avoiding India is the go, given just how machine-like they've been as they've been ticking through it. Van der Dusen, the last bit, because he was going at a strike rate of about 70 at one point when he was up around 70, 80, and he picks it up to go well past 100, hits 5 sixes, most of them late in his innings, and their drives over mid-off and mid-on, so he does really well in terms of lifting that rate, although it's a dangerous game sometimes to leave too much to the back. Poor old Trent Bolt, another one, he drops the catch off Neesham at long off van der Dusen that goes over the rope for 6. Just a few echoes there. If you watched a game in 2019 at some point around about July, you might have picked up on that one. So felt for him. Bolt beautifully, by the way. While these guys were rampaging and made 350, Bolt went for absolutely bugger all up until his 10th over. So he was 28, 1 for 28 off his first 8. His 9th over was bowled right at the death. It only went for 7 runs, I think. And then the last over, he got whacked for a 4 and a 6 that messed up his figures a bit at 1 for 49, but even so, you know, he just bowled so well. He hit those Yorkers almost routinely and was really good today. So, you know, unlucky that the rest of his team didn't show up for the most part and that Henry gets injured. That doesn't help, although Henry got smashed against Australia. Regardless, the upshot is massive, massive margin, 190-run loss. And this is what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, that New Zealand were getting pumped up even though they had a softer entry to the competition. And these were the 3 games that I remember talking to you about, saying this is where we find out if they're actually a contender or not, is when they play India, Australia, South Africa back-to-back. They've lost all 3. They need to win against Sri Lanka and Pakistan. And so, you know, New Zealand face a pretty tough test from here.
Yeah, and look, they're still in control of their own destiny, which is where you want to be at this stage of a round robin. But look, injury to Henry feels significant. I hope, you know, that I think he went
I've
off
only
as a
got
precautionary measure
right now. Adam.
Yeah, so, because we know Ferguson's off anyway. We know that Williamson's missing at the moment, so they're going to want to get
Chapman.
At least, and Chapman of course as well. So, you know, just with the Henry piece to this, and you might have got more info at the ground. My instinct was maybe this was a precautionary measure. He was into his 6 over. You know, I don't know. That's probably a long bow to draw, but you can't run the risk of him tearing a hamstring, straining it. You might be back in a week or 9 days or 10 days or something like that. So they need to find a way to regroup. And look, they did that in 2019. New Zealand were getting out of form at the wrong time in the group stage there. They lost to the West Indies. They lost to England heavily up at Durham. And they got their shit together just in time to beat India in a semi-final. So they'll be relying on Williamson coming back. I haven't heard any status updates on him in the last week or so, but they'll need him because this Pakistan game, as we touched on before, becomes just gigantic. It's on Saturday. I've got it written down here where they're playing. They're playing on Saturday at Chinnaswamy. So we know that's a heavy scoring ground. Right. And Pakistan back in some nick yesterday with a pretty impressive win. So look, that's a side coming back into form against a side that's out of form. I know form can be a nebulous idea, but you want to be trending in the right direction. So cannot wait for that one. Just one more note on the game itself before we shuffle onto the Hall of Fame and all the rest of it. Quinton de Kock and his retirement. Jeff, we haven't really had the chance to dig into that in any real depth since it got announced. He's 30 and he's withdrawing from one day cricket. It just feels like such a crying shame. I mean, I know that the senior players often benchmark their involvement in formats around World Cups, and if he's not intending on being a 50 over player in as a 34-year-old, then maybe he's doing the right thing by making way. I'm not sure, but like a guy who's in the best form of his life, seeing fit to walk off the stage and announcing it before the finals have even happened, it feels premature to me, and I hope he is able to reconsider this decision, because when he's firing, they are such a better team. They can lay the foundation, which does allow those bigger hitters, those T20 guys, to come in at the back and do as they see fit.
Although maybe he's playing so well because he knows he's going to retire. That pressure's off, he feels relaxed. Basically, he's over cricket. He's sick of playing it, he's sick of being on the road all the time. And so Fidos Munda suggested there's a little whisper that he might think about coming back in 4 years for the World Cup in South Africa, but not play a lot in the interim. that's a stretch. They didn't take AB de Villiers back when he made himself available in 2019. But who knows? He's just sick of it. He's done with it, and I think that's understandable when you've been playing since a young age and producing. So it is unfortunate, but there are points where you don't want to be on the road all year, and nobody's making a fortune playing for South Africa. They will make a fortune playing in a few select T20 leagues. So that's what he'll do.
I mentioned that what New Zealand have coming up. South Africa get the perfect possible free hit, I reckon. They get India in their next game at Eden Gardens. That'll be a blockbuster first versus second. But in some ways, you'd rather be South Africa because expectations are measured around India. Everyone assumes they're going to do what Australia did in 2003 and 2007 and run the table. So a chance there for the Proteas, and they have Afghanistan to finish, who conceivably can still make it and overtake New Zealand. Okay, Jeff, time to move along to the final word, Hall of Fame. Final Word Hall of Fame is brought to you by Westfield London and Westfield Stratford City. Jeff, I was talking to Cam about this yesterday, and I thought I'd discuss it with you as well. There's so much to do at Westfield. We've gone through that over a number of weeks and months now. But maybe the best thing you can choose to do is donate blood. The UK is facing a shortage of O-negative and B-negative blood at the moment. And to ensure the hospitals have the right amount of blood when they need it at a really tricky time of year around Christmas, they're doing a blood drive right now at both Westfield London and Westfield Stratford City. There's an NHS blood donation bank at both of the centres. If you don't know your blood type, they'll do a finger prick test there and then. They'll let you know and you can give blood immediately. And if you already know your blood type, you can book now online and go in there and save some time. That's blood.co.uk, Westfield London, Westfield Stratford City. More bloody extra, less bloody ordinary. Jeff, do you know your blood type? Cam did. That surprised me. Do you?
Wouldn't have a clue. I asked my mother once and she said, I don't know, I don't remember. So, thanks, Mum. And as for... Yeah, there used to be some qualifications that I couldn't donate because I'd lived in too many other countries and they used to be pretty weird about all that sort of stuff. So, I don't know, but I can find out next time I go to Westfield.
I just saw an Alex Hartley-shaped character walking in behind you and shot. Hello, Alex. Just on blood donations and stuff that happened today, Harsha Bogle is a great advocate for blood donations in India. He does an amazing amount of work promoting the cause on social media. I love the question that he asked Quinton de Kock at the halfway mark about, surely this is the best you've ever batted in one-day cricket. And Quinton was like, I don't know. I think so. Probably. It was for a guy that's rattled off 400s in seven hits. He was he was altogether non-committal. So that was the first thing that jumped out at me. The other thing off commentary, it was Mark Nicholas when Ravindra holed out to fine leg, wasn't it? So yeah, it lands about 10 yards inside the circle, inside the ring boundary rather. And we're all guilty of this sometimes. We think a ball's going for six and we start calling it and it doesn't make it. And he goes, that's a six, caught in the deep. He kind of recovered it just before finishing the word. So expertly saved there by Mark Nicholas.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I've got a Mark Nicholas moment for you because he poked his head around the commentary box door to say good day during the first innings. You know, just a sort of how are you, where have you been sort of stuff. And mid-sentence, he can't help himself. He has to commentate. Rassi Vandadasen hits the six down the ground. And mid-sentence, he just breaks off and goes, well, that is flat and hard. Just mid-conversation. Like, off the mic.
It's a sixer. It would have been better had he been with that.
just couldn't help it, just had to go for it. So that was good. I've especially enjoyed the conspiracy theory today among the nutters online is that the BCCI may be in league with China and the PCB have arranged for New Zealand to choose to bowl because they want to make sure Pakistan make the semi-finals so they can have an India-Pakistan final. So apparently the Kiwis are in on that. Don't know how they got bought off, but that literally people have been positive this to me as, well, obviously this is what's happening. Have you checked out what the CCCP are up to? No, I haven't. I should be looking at CCCP, CCTV, because that's how you find out what they're doing. But my last Hall of Fame is Aidan Markram with the six from one ball. Great. He joins a list. There are 11 players in ODIs who have hit six off one ball. He's the first specialist batter ever to do it. They're always tail enders. There are a couple of all-rounders in there in Yusuf Pathan and Shadab Khan. But you've got Wasim Akram did it first, Akib Javed, Venkatesh Prasad, Mohammad Shami, Chris Jordan, Wahab Riaz, Jasprit Bumrah. And one of your faves, the Irish spinner Andy McBrien, get this, is the only player ever to make six from one ball dismissed. Everyone else is six not out. How do you think he got out for an innings of six off one ball?
Well, this is what T20 analysts call the perfect possible game, don't they? They say if you get six from one and out second ball, you've done your job perfectly.
No, one ball. He faced one ball.
Oh, sorry. He was out from one ball. He got run out at the non-striker's end from fingers in the follow-through, something like that.
He tried to run an extra on a wide the subsequent delivery against Zimbabwe in Belfast in 2021 and got run out heading to the non-striker's end after hitting a six first ball. So he's the only player ever to make six and out first ball in an ODI. The others are all six not out. And Aidan Markram joined that list today.
I like it. Nice one there from Andy McBrien. Look, Jeff, I'm off. I've got to read how New Zealand foreign policy has changed since their change of government a couple of weeks ago. So I'm going to crack on with that and read about this conspiracy theory in greater depth. You're going to crack on. Where are you off to next? I think you're flying to
Mumbai. Mumbai tonight. We're driving down to Mumbai tonight for the game tomorrow.
So Jeff will be in Mumbai, then we'll be back tomorrow on the show with the game that's between India and Sri Lanka at the Work, Rest and Play. The Netherlands are playing Afghanistan on Friday. This has been the final word daily for Westfield London, Westfield Stratford City. If you really like what we do, patreon.com/thefinalword. We've got a daily show in the feed, a weekly show rather, in the feed at the moment, which deals with all the issues around the game. Our Storytime History show last week was a belter. Another one coming on the weekend with myself and Bharat Sundaresan, guest hosting for Jeff. We've got interviews coming up left, right and centre, including one with a former England great and another with the new president of the MCC, Mark Nicholas, when he's back from the World Cup. We can't stop, we won't stop. This is the final word. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Bye. I ain't protected, brother, I ain't fenced. And if my future question my current senses, that'd be the same we've been doing for centuries. Sorry if I ran out to empty, wrote this so you know what I meant here. I had to go about it.